Hallelujah. The Bible says, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. The Pharisees' righteousness was self-righteousness. They were trusting in themselves. Their confidence was in themselves. Their confidence was in their ability to obey the law. But Jesus said, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the Pharisees, you can't even enter into the kingdom of God. The Pharisees' righteousness was self-righteousness. There is a righteousness that exceeds self-righteousness, and it is called the righteousness of God. And that's what Jesus was referring to when he said, your righteousness must exceed self-righteousness. Your righteousness must be the righteousness of God in order for you to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And the Bible says that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be made sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him by faith. Righteousness simply means to have right standing with God. And the Bible says, he made Jesus and Jesus only to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. I call that the great exchange. He exchanged my sins for his righteousness. And don't I appreciate it? Amen? Hallelujah. Because I got the better end of the bargain. Amen? Far as I'm concerned, he got ripped. Amen? And I got blessed. Amen? You know, the Bible says, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And at the moment you become born again or become a child of God, God imparts his righteousness to you through Jesus. He makes you right with him. You can't make yourself right with God. You'll just die trying. God's done all the work. He's done all the heavy lifting. All we have to do is accept it. What does it mean to be born again? I will tell you what it means to be born again. Remember Jesus said in John 3:3, he said to Nicodemus, he said, Nicky, listen up. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said, well, what am I supposed to do? Climb back into my mother's womb and come out a new creation? Jesus said, Nicky, Nicky, Nicky. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And what he meant was this. The first time you were born, you were birthed into this earth through the natural door of your mother's womb. That's the, for everybody here has a belly button. I believe it. You don't even have to show it to me. You got a belly button unless it was removed surgically. But you came here, you have a belly button because you came into this earth through the natural door of a woman's womb. That's how you got here. That's how Jesus got here. It's the first time you were born. The second time you're born, you enter into the spirit world, the kingdom of God, through acceptance of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. First time you're born into the earth, through the natural door of your mother's womb. The second time you're born or born again, you're birthed into the spirit realm by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. That's what Jesus meant when he said, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. The first time you're born into this world in the flesh, through the door of your mother's womb. The second time, or when you're born again, you're birthed into the spirit realm by accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and your personal Savior. And you're not going to get anywhere with God, without Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. All of the world's religions, apart from Christianity, are false religions. I don't care what it is. I don't care how popular it's becoming. It's becoming to be a Muslim in America. You're riding a grease pole to hell if you're trusting in the Muslims to save you. You know, the Muslims say Jesus was a good man, a good teacher, and a good prophet, but he wasn't the Son of God. He's a good man. He's a good teacher. He's a good prophet, but he's not the Son of God. He's not who he said he was. I've had Muslims say that to me. Barbara's standing right with me, and I say to them, okay, let's talk shop. You say Jesus is a good man, he's a good teacher, he's a good prophet, but he's also a good liar. Don't you realize that good men and good teachers and good prophets don't lie? He said he was the Son of God. The Muslim religion tells you he's a good man. He's a good teacher. He's a good prophet. But he's not the only way to God. Well, he said he was. How can you say a liar and a deceiver and a usurper is a good teacher, a good prophet, and a good man? You know what they always say when I say that? Time to reevaluate what I believe. Amen? Listen, everyone in this room, if you haven't said it, you need to say, Jesus, you're my choice. Because that's your only ticket out of here alive. Amen? And you're in here today on purpose if you haven't done that. You're being given opportunity to hook up with God's means of escape from the devil's hell. Well, I don't believe there is such a place as hell. Well, you will one day. Amen? You will one day. You will be... I don't even believe in the resurrection from the dead. You will be by your own resurrection from the dead one day. Amen? Hallelujah. Most people have enough sense to purchase insurance in this life. Why don't you buy some for the afterlife? It's called Jesus. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And it's free. It's all paid for. No monthly installments. Amen? Well, glory be to God. Amen? If you're in this room and you have not made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I encourage you, before you close your eyes after laying in your head on your pillow tonight, you say, Jesus, you're my choice. And the Bible says in Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He makes it easy for us because really we're pretty stupid. Well, without him we are. But when Jesus comes to live on the inside of us, you know, they say that when a person is born again, their intelligence level increases by as much as 75%. Because when Jesus comes, he brings wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption lives on the inside of us. If you're born again, the wisdom of God dwells on the inside of you. Who would want to go through life without that? Hallelujah. So glory. Hallelujah. Open in your Bibles to Matthew, if you would, this morning. Amen? If you like the taste of a lobster stew and someone who'll stand up and preach faith to you, you're sure to fall in love with old Cape Cod. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I learned, huh? Bible says new Cape Cod. Hallelujah. The new Cape Cod. Amen? Matthew, in your Bible, if you would. Hallelujah. Well, glory be to God. We talk about miracles around here on Sunday mornings. Amen? We're starting a new faith series. Hallelujah. On Wednesday night. Oh, you're going to want to be there. Hallelujah. We're here to teach faith on Cape Cod. I'm not saying I'm the only one on Cape Cod teaching faith. But I am saying I'm the only one teaching it as good as I am. Hallelujah. Well, I mean, if I didn't believe it, I'd tell you, you go somewhere else where you get it better. Because shepherds have a heart for the sheep. I believe you get it good here. Amen? Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Come on. Hallelujah. Say, Pastor. Pastor. Let's do it again. The key to teaching is repetition. Pastor. I really love you, man. Now let's see if you can do it on your own.
Pastor, I really love you, man.
I love you too, man. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I really do. Amen? Hallelujah. I'd go back driving semi-trucks for rock and roll bands. I would. But that's not what I'm called to do. God delivered me from that. Amen? I used to drive tractor trailer. You know, ever see that movie Smokey and the Bandit? That big semi-truck and Smokey and the Bandit? I used to drive that truck. That was my truck. I used to drive that truck all over the country for rock and roll bands. Everywhere I'd go down the freeway, north, south, east, and west, I had to shut my CB radio off because all I would hear is, Bandit, is that you? Bandit, is that you? Remember Bandit drove the truck in the movie? I drove that truck all over this country for rock and roll bands. God got me out of that stinking mess, and I thank Him for it. I'll never go back. I'll never go. I'm telling you, Hollywood in Las Vegas, I worked out of Hollywood, I worked out of Las Vegas. You can go read my testimony on the Albuquerque fire pit on the website. It is not all it is cracked up to be. It's a world of filth and garbage and hell and deception and demons. Hallelujah. Amen. You need to go read and see how God came to me when I was working for a very famous entertainer in Albuquerque, New Mexico. God came and visited me in my hotel room in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I got me out of that business but fast, brother and sister. Amen? And I thank God for it. I don't want to do anything but preach and teach the gospel between now and the time Jesus comes or I go first. Amen? Hallelujah. So let me hear you say it again. I'll take it by faith, because that's weak. Hallelujah. I know that you do, and you know that I do. Amen. Listen, we're talking about miracles. Today we're going to talk about miracles and wonders. Miracles and wonders. Amen. We're going to read some scripture here together and elevate your faith, boost your faith for your miracle. Oh, glory be to God. People are going to leave here today who have been being oppressed in certain areas of their lives, whether it's in finances, in your mind, in your body, whatever, in your family, whatever it might be, in your business, and you're going to go free. God's going to perform the supernatural for all who walk out of here today believing that Jesus Christ is still the man of wonder that He was yesterday. The Bible says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is still a miracle worker. He's still a wonder worker. He's still the master of mass miracles. He's still the man of wonder. And I'm just going to tell you right up front, the Lord said to me as I was studying yesterday, by His still small voice, there's a tape on one of those tables called 8 Ways God Guides. If you haven't heard that, you need to hear that tape. Take it with you. It's free. Amen? You can put a donation in the basket if you want, but if you don't have it to give, take that tape and listen to it. Amen? God speaks to people by the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, by His still small voice, by His audible voice, through dreams, through visions, through prophecies, through angels. 10 visitations of angels I've had in my life. 10. God still speaks. And God said to me yesterday as I was sitting at the computer working on this message for you today, He said these words into my spirit. I asked you to go to Matthew, go to John chapter 16. Can you get there? Hallelujah. John 16. Here's what the Lord said to me yesterday. This will change your prayer life. It's so simple, but it's a tremendous revelation. Some have it, some don't. John chapter 16, did you get there? Yeah. Amen? Here's what He said to me, then we'll read the verse. He said, many are still praying to Jesus. Talking about those who'd be here today. Many are still praying to Jesus. Eva, you get a King James there? Read it to me anyway. It should work. Verse 23. And read it loud as I do.
John 16:23. And in that day you shall ask me nothing.
What?
And in that day you shall ask me nothing.
Who's talking?
Jesus.
Keep reading.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it to you.
What? Whatsoever you shall ask who?
The Father.
Jesus said, "In that verily, verily, or surely, surely, or listen up, or are you paying attention? Verily, verily, I say unto you, in that day, the day He goes back to heaven, and surely He's gone, He's risen from the dead and He's there, you shall ask me nothing." You know what nothing is? It's the big fat zero with the rim knocked off. Nothing. Don't petition me, Jesus said. Whatever you ask the Father, please say, Father, Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. As long as you've got scripture for it.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And the Lord said to me yesterday, sitting in my comfy chair, looking at my computer, minding my own business, reading in Matthew chapter 15, many are still praying to Jesus. Now you go back to Matthew chapter 15, I'll tell you a narrative, a true account that's really going to bless you. I don't know if we're going to get through everything I have for you today, but I know this, you are going to be blessed as you leave here. Things are going to change. Things are changing right now for you, Peter, as you sit here. You are about to see supernatural intervention of God on your behalf in ways that you even began to wonder, is it even possible? Well, all things are possible if only you believe. We have a friend in Oklahoma. Now, you're at Matthew 15. There is a $2 fine for reading when I'm preaching. If you're new, amen. Brother Maurice, who come around, I point out who's doing the reading. He comes and he collects the $2. Amen. Hallelujah. You're doing the writing? You're doing the writing. You're not, oh, you're writing names down. He's taking notes and taking names. Oh, he's saying he's not reading. I know he wouldn't read while I'm preaching. Amen. He's already been busted. Hallelujah. We have a friend in Oklahoma City. He's a printer, and he's a very good printer. He's a friend of mine and Barbara's. His name is David. In 1991 or 1992, you aren't going to want to miss this. This is along the lines of what the Lord said to me yesterday. Many are still praying to Jesus, and that's why your prayers aren't being answered. You can't pray to Jesus. You can love him. You can talk to him. You can worship him. You can preach him. You can fellowship with him. You can share him with other people, but you can't petition him. He said, don't ask me for nothing. Ask the Father in my name. That's why so many prayers are going unanswered. David's father needed a heart transplant. In 30 years before his father needed the, he worked for Bell Atlantic. He at the telephone company for 30 years. 30 years before he needed this heart transplant in 91 or 92, he signed a waiver on his insurance saying if he ever needed a heart transplant, the insurance company wasn't liable for it. I mean, why not in the 1960s? Who was getting heart transplants in the 1960s? But the insurance companies knew they were coming on and coming on strong, and they were wanting out any time they could get out and not have to pay for it. David's father signed a waiver. You do not have to pay for a heart transplant if I need one. Lo and behold, 30 years later, he comes up, his heart swells, the doctor says he needs a new heart, he's dying. Needs a new heart. But he's got no insurance. He signed a waiver saying, if I ever need one, you're not liable. Sincerely yours, David's dad. And that was it. He, for 3 months, struggled to get that overturned. He went to senators. He went to congressmen. He went to the American Heart Association, the Red Cross. He went to attorneys, was paying attorneys, was missing all kinds of work. He had just bought a house, fallen behind in his payments, trying to get this heart transplant for his dad. Nothing worked. Nearly 3 months he went through this, stressed to the max. I walked in the print shop one day and I said to him, David, are you praying? Are you praying for this need to be met for your dad? He said, I am. I said, how are you praying? What do you mean, how am I praying? I'm praying for a transplant for my dad. But David, would you just illustrate for me, please? How are you praying? Show me how you're praying. He said, I say, Jesus, please provide a heart transplant for my dad. Change the insurance company's minds. I said, there's your problem. There's your problem. And I had a little book in my hand. I said, if you will read this, David, and change the way you're praying, God will turn this situation around for you. He'll overturn this decree against you. It was a little book by Dr. Kenneth Hagin on praying to get results. He stood there. I told him, you're praying wrong. You're praying to Jesus. That's your problem. Read the book. I won't preach it to you. I'll wait and I'll preach it up on Cape Cod in 13 years. Read the book, change the way you're praying, watch what happens. He stood there and he read that book. Probably took him 45 minutes praying to get results. He closed the book, He said to me, I see what I'm doing wrong. What are you doing wrong, David? What you said. I'm praying to Jesus, and I'm not praying to the Father in Jesus' name. And I said, you want to change that prayer right now? We'll agree. He said, I already did. I changed my prayer. What did you pray? I said, Father, please change the minds of the insurance company in Jesus' name. Twenty minutes later, after 3 months of appealing to senators, congressmen, insurance companies, lawyers, Red Cross, Heart Association, the telephone rang. Barbara and I were standing there. Ring, 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 ring. He picks the telephone up, and he's just quiet, just quiet, just quiet, quiet, quiet. And then he said, thank you very much. And he hung the telephone up. He said, that was the insurance company. 20 minutes after changing the way he prayed, which was getting him nowhere for 3 months, what'd they say? They said, Mr. Hyatt, we don't know why we're doing this. We've never done it before. But we're going to provide your father with $165,000 for a heart transplant, even though he signed a waiver releasing us. Glory! The Lord said to me yesterday, many are still praying to Jesus, and that's the problem. Pray to the Father in Jesus' name. And then when you pray once, ask one time. Ask Him one time to help you, and then don't ever ask Him again. Start thanking Him. That's faith. Faith won't bawl and squall. Faith will say, thank you. You call me on the telephone, you have a $20 need, and you say to me, Pastor, would you give me $20, please? I have a pressing need. I need $20. I don't have it. So I put it in the mail. It'll be there in 2 days. You hang the telephone up and you call me 15 minutes later. And you ask me for the $20 again. I said, I told you last time you called, I'll put it in the mail. As a matter of fact, it's in the mail. It's on the way to you. Okay, okay. And then you call me an hour and a half later. And you say, I really need that $20, Pastor. I've got to have the twice. I put it in the mail. You nuts. Is that, you want God to think you're nuts? Well, do you? Nobody's answering. You do?
No.
Oh, no, no. Then you ask one time. If He's agreed to do something in the Scripture, He said whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, He'll give it to you. Then isn't it time to just start thanking Him until you see the manifestation? It'll come from that realm into this realm. Paul said through many thanksgivings, just begin to praise Him. Oh, thank God for the power of praise. Okay, let's look over here. Matthew chapter 15. We're just going to read some scriptures. Woo! Hallelujah. Pastor! It's getting better. It's getting better. I'm starting to believe it. Look at verse 29. Are all the lights up in here? Hallelujah. I'm used to being up underneath this light, aren't I? Look at verse 29. Jesus departed from thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee, went unto a mountain and sat down there. Great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. You ought to go out and get the sick and bring them in here. Insomuch that the multitude wondered. Say wondered. Now that word means marveled and were astonished. Marveled. And were astonished. They marveled and they were astonished by what Jesus did for the lame, the blind, the dumb, the maimed, and many others. When they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be made whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. This is how God gets glory, not by making people sick. God might get glory in spite of someone's sickness, but God in the Bible never got glory because of someone's sickness. Do you see the difference? God might get glory out of our lives in spite of our being sick, but not because we're sick. It's never His will for us to be sick. It's always His will for us to be healed, but everybody doesn't always get healed. Why? Because everybody doesn't always meet the conditions. Condition number one, walk in love. A lot of Christians don't want to walk in love towards one another. And that blocks the spot where the power comes out. Amen? A lot of Christians don't want to hook up with Israel. They hook up with the Palestinians and the Muslims and have compassion and sympathy for them. God said, don't do that. You'll come under a little pieces curse. I'll cut you in little pieces. Amen? Hallelujah. You only have to have one eye and half a brain to know you don't want to do that. Hallelujah. Listen, this is not an unusual scene in the ministry of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's go over to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Everywhere Jesus went, the sick were healed, the blind received sight, deaf ears were opened, demons were cast out. He restored people financially, materially, socially, emotionally. Jesus is a man of wonder. And he'll do things for you today, if only you believe, that'll cause you to be astonished, that'll cause you to marvel and you to wonder. I'm going to ask you to put your faith out with me today for God to do miracles in this congregation, in this church, to bring us such explosive growth in this place that we will be astonished, we will marvel, and we will wonder by what He's done. Can you believe that with me? Hallelujah, because that's what I'm believing for you, that He'll do things in your life that will cause you to be astonished, marvel, wonder, and give Him glory. He's a man of wonder. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. The multitude wondered and they gave glory. This is how God gets glory in the Bible. By healing, not making people sick. By blessing, not damning. God's gotten a bum rap by religion in the world. All the evil in the world doesn't come from God. It comes from the devil. John 10:10, the thief came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's Satan. But I have come, Jesus said, that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, for some people, that's a shocking revelation that all the bad things in the world don't come from God. God doesn't teach and discipline with sickness, disease, evil, accident, incident, tragedy, confusion, frustration, failure. He teaches with His Word, like I'm teaching you right now, with His Word. The Word of God, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, is profitable for reproof, rebuke, correction, and instruction in righteousness, not tragedy. The devil causes tragedy. James 1:17, James said, only good and perfect things come down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. What I'm saying to you is this, if it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. And we need to get a hold of that. He gets a bum rap out there all the time. Tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, insurance companies don't want to pay up, so they call it an act of God. Philippians chapter 2, John 12, John 14, John 16 says that Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the prince of this world, and he causes those things, not God. Amen. So you need to know God's not after you today. He's not looking to get you. Because if He was looking to get you, He'd already have gotten you. Because you're not that smart and He's not that stupid. Amen. Now that's good preaching. Hallelujah. Here's another one right here. Mark chapter 9, verse 1. He entered into a ship, passed over, and came into his own city. Amen? Hallelujah. JCEA, the Jesus Christ Evangelistic Association, was located here. He was going back to headquarters. Behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. Jesus, seeing their faith, you know, Jesus can see if you have... Oh, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 9. Well, do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit?
Yes.
Well, do you believe in the word of knowledge?
Yes.
Well, then you should have known. I gave you a wrong chapter. You claim to be spiritual, and then you let me stand up here and take the heat for my own mistakes.
Yes.
Where'd I tell you to go? We're going to Matthew 9. Still good. It's God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you there now?
Yes.
And verse 1, he entered. I apologize for that. Second time in my life I was wrong. I missed the bus once. He entered into a ship and passed over and came to his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, seeing that word is actually observing, witnessing their faith. Jesus observes and witnesses your faith by what you do and what you say. Pastor, how can I tell if I'm in faith? Listen to the way you're talking. You're saying what God says about your situation or what the devil says? You're saying what the Word says or what your head says? Jesus perceived they had faith. Apparently, they were talking it and they were walking it. Amen? Okay, that'll help you if you let it. He said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven." Oh, he's a forgiver. "Behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, 'This man blasphemeth.'" He's forgiven sins and they think it's blasphemy. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easy to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? It's all the same to me," Jesus said. "If I forgive you, I'll heal you. If I heal you, I've got to forgive you. It's all the same to me. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, 'Arise, take up thy bed, go unto thine house.'" And the man actually arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled. That's that word wonder again. They marveled, they wondered, and they gave glory to God. This is how God gets glory. By helping people, not hurting people. By blessing people, not by damning people. God didn't make this dude sick. If he did, Jesus went against his Father's will by healing him. Jesus never went against his Father's will. He said in John 6:37, he said, "For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but to do the will of him who sent me." That means every time Jesus healed a sick person, it was God healing through him. As a matter of fact, he said in John 14:10, he said, "The Father within me, he doeth the works." That was God that healed this cat. It was God, not God that made him sick. Otherwise, God would be a hypocrite. Jesus would be contradicting his Father's will and going against his Father's will, and Jesus never went against his Father's will. The people wondered, glorified God, which had... Look, read that verse with me. In verse 8, the multitude saw it. They marveled, glorified God, which had given such power unto Jesus. Unto Jesus. Unto Jesus. Unto men, M-E-N, not a man, not the man, not capital M, small M-E-N, and that means if you're a woman, he's given you the power too. Because if you're a woman, you're a man too. You're a man with a womb, you're a womb man. And you got the same power as any man in this earth. And don't let anybody ever tell you any different. I said it earlier today, I'll say it again. If you are racially, religiously, sexually, or socially prejudiced in any way, you ain't nothing like Jesus wants you to be. But if you'll stick around here, we can help you with that, baby. Amen? Because we are not religiously prejudiced around here. Amen? We got them coming from all backgrounds, including me. I'm a Catholic hostel. Raised Roman Catholic, baptized with the Holy Ghost, Pentecostal preacher. I'm a Catholicostal. Amen? Listen, Jesus, God has children in every denomination in the world. We better just get used to it. We're never going to get rid of them until Jesus comes. There weren't any denominations when Jesus was here. But they're here now. Deal with it. Let's not fight with them. Let's agree without being disagreeable. Let's not measure on minus. Let's agree with what we agree with on the Lordship of Jesus. Amen? If you're sexually prejudiced, you're nothing like God wants you to be. If you think men are better than women, well, praise the Lord, stick around. We can help you with that. That's why the Lord said to me on Friday, "You make sure every woman in that place hears that message. Jesus, miracles, and women. It's on the table, sisters. Take it home for free." If you weren't here when I preached that on Mother's Day, don't leave here without Jesus, miracles, and women, or you'll live in spiritual darkness for the rest of your life. Women have as much power and authority in Christ as any man. Christ Jesus, there's neither male, female, Jew, Gentile, bond or free. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. Come on! Somebody criticized me for all the women that come to this church. Said, "I'll take 6 believing women over 10,000 unbelieving men any day. We'll get something done." True! Let me hear the women say, "Pastor."
Pastor.
Whoo! I really love you, man. God gave this power to men, not just to Jesus. John 14:12 says, the works that I do, you shall do also, because I go to the Father. Meaning I'll go to the Father, the Holy Ghost will come off of me, I won't need him anymore in heaven. I'll send him back to you and empower you to do the same works that I do. Jesus said, resist the devil in James 4:7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. As a matter of fact, go to Mark chapter 16 real quick. Let's look at the Great Commission. There's a group here on Cape Cod. And every time you turn around, they're saying, Mark 16. There's a group here on Cape Cod. Mark 16, Mark 16, Mark 16. I'm going to go back and listen to the tape now and prove I got it right.
You did.
I did? Thank you. Hallelujah. Group here on Cape Cod. Every time you hear them, they're preaching, God's doing something new, God's doing something new, God's doing something new, God's doing something new, God's doing something new. That's all you hear out of this group. I won't say who they are. God, help me to not say who they are. God's not doing something new on Cape Cod. They're taking the verse of Scripture, Isaiah 49:13, where it says, behold, I do a new thing. And that's God talking to Israel, where God told Israel to hate their enemies, hate their neighbors, and stay away from them. And he said, Isaiah prophesied, I'm going to be doing a new thing. And when Jesus came, he told them what the new thing was. One new commandment I give unto you now. No more hating your neighbors. No more hating your enemies. One new commandment I give unto you, that you love your neighbors the way I love you. That's the new thing God's doing. He's been doing it since Jesus came for 2,000 years. It hasn't changed. They're taking that verse out of context. He's not doing a new thing. The New Testament program hasn't changed. Preach the gospel of signs, wonders, and miracles. Believe the gospel of signs, wonders, and miracles, and God will confirm the gospel of signs, wonders, and miracles. That's what he's doing. That's the New Testament program. The book of Acts is full of miracles, and it's the blueprint for the way we're supposed to be doing things. Don't let anybody tell you God's doing a new thing, because he's not. He's doing a Bible thing, a New Testament thing, a book of Acts thing, and it's called the Great Commission, and it's right here in Mark chapter 16. Can you hear me in the back? Hallelujah. It's good do, isn't it? Jesus said, the works I do, you can do as well. You can cast out demons just like Jesus cast out demons. You can pray for the sick and expect them to be healed just like Jesus prayed for the sick, expecting them to be healed. Amen? We've seen it happen time and time again. Do not ever tell me Jesus does not do miracles. And you're hopeless. Well, I'm hopeless as far as you're concerned if you're trying to convince me, and I've had people try to convince me he doesn't do miracles anymore. Then you want to tell me who knocked me out cold for 3 days in my living room? Nearly 3 full days when I prayed a prayer to God when I was a cocaine and alcohol addict, and I woke up nearly 3 full days later, completely delivered from drug and alcohol addiction, hatred, anger, immorality. Who was that did that for me? If he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever. Or, now I ask you to go to Mark 16. I haven't forgotten. And if I do, Barbara reminds me. Let me just tell you, most of you know, but I'll never stop telling the story of my friend Ronald Coyne, who had his eyeball surgically removed when he was 8 years old. You can go to our website, johnhimmelministries.org. Right on the homepage it says, The Plastic Eye Miracle. Ronald was my friend. He's in heaven now. But this is a man God brought into our lives. We knew him personally. Ronald has been on Oprah Winfrey, Geraldo Rivera, Sally Jesse Raphael, Phil Donahue. You name them, all the talk shows he's been on. Eyeball, his brother hit him in the face with a piece of barbed wire when he was 7. It became infected, drained out, and he had a birthday. And when he was... Well, let me just tell it to you this way. It drained out. He had it surgically removed. The doctor took it out. It became infected. They had to take it out. All the fluid drained out of the thing. When he was 8, after his 8th birthday, he went into a tent meeting at 8 years old, brought by his mother, into a tent where Daisy Gillick, a woman Barbara personally knows and has relationship with, prayed for him. She was the attending evangelist. And he began to see through his empty eye socket at 8 years old. He traveled for 43 years demonstrating that miracle. You need a sign. You need a miracle. You need an astounding wonder, Peter. God has it for you. All you need to do is tell the devil, back off, Bucky boy, in Jesus' name, and he will obey you. That's what you need to do. You need to quit waiting on God for God to do what he's telling you to do. In your situation, the one you spoke to me of earlier today, all you need to do is, Satan, I bind you in Jesus' name. Cease, desist in Jesus' name, and expect a change, and it will come. Progressively, but it will come. Ronald traveled for 43 years demonstrating that he could see out of an empty eye socket. We're talking about signs, we're talking about wonders, we're talking about miracles. Many of you have heard this before. You're all going to hear it again, too. God brought that man into my life because he knew Ronald was going to pass away in 2 or 3 years, and he didn't want that miracle to die with him. Ronald Coyne led millions of people to Jesus. He came to our church in Norman, Oklahoma, sat in the chair beside my pulpit, popped his plastic eyeball and put it on my pulpit, pulled it out, and a big old piece of goo went with it. It's like, oh, it's all right, I'm ready for the miracle. I took a handkerchief and I folded it 8 times. Just happen to have one today. I put it over his existing eye, and I took a half a roll of medical adhesive tape and crisscrossed it down his nose, across his brow and his chin, and so he could not see. Every person in both of those meetings came up, handed him something to read as he sat there with an empty eye socket, and read personal identification, birth certificates, nursing licenses, driver's license, automobile insurance, magazines and newspapers, and the Bible, of course. It didn't miss a beat. People cried out in repentance in the presence of a holy God. Listen, Jesus is the same yesterday. He did that twice for us. I saw him. I talked to him on the telephone not long after that. And he was on an Indian reservation up in Canada. And I said, Brother Ronald, I need to ask you a question. Can you see, do you need a miracle today, anybody in this room? Do you need supernatural intervention, anybody in this room? In your family, your mortgage, your finances? What do you need? On the job, at school, marriage, what? God's got it for you. I said, Ronald, can you see out of that eye 24/7? Or does the anointing, the power of God, the ability of God come on you only in church? And you can only do that in church. He said, no, Brother John. He said, I see right out of that eyeball 24/7. He said, I can see whether the plastic eyeball's in there or out of there. He said, as a matter of fact, I get better vision than most people. 20/20. He said, I can drive down the road. I drive my car. Drive down the road, and I can close my real eye and just keep on seeing right through the plastic eyeball. See traffic approaching on the left? Just like you, he said. There's only one time that I could not see out of that empty eye socket, and it was when the miracle first occurred when I was a little boy. And people would line up in the tent, just like they lined up in your church to see me read, to bring me something to read. He said only at that time, hundreds of people would line up for me as a little boy to read out of my empty eye socket. And he said, as long as people were expecting me to be able to read, I could read. But when someone would step aside and a person would step up who didn't believe and wasn't expecting, my eye would go black and I couldn't read. And he said, a minister who was in that meeting noticed that that was happening to me. When somebody didn't expect and didn't believe, I couldn't see. He said, Ronald, I know why that's happening. Do you read Scripture and build up on the Scripture, get Scripture in you before you demonstrate the miracle? He said, no, not really. He said, if you will do that, if you'll just take a few minutes before each meeting and get the Word of God in you, because it's a supernatural Word. It's a living Word. It's the power of God. When people who don't believe walk up to you, your faith will overpower their unbelief. See, faith comes by hearing. Or by observing the Word of God, by reading the Bible. That's how faith comes. Not by praying, but by reading and hearing. That's why your faith level is higher right now than it was when you came in here. You're hearing the Word of faith preached. He said, so I just started from that day forth. reading Scripture before I went into a service, and it never happened again. When somebody didn't believe, my faith would overpower their unbelief, and I could still keep on seeing. If God, who is no respecter of persons, by the way, He loves us all as He, much as He loves Jesus, could do that for Ronald, cause him to see through an empty eye socket, what can He do for your twinkling little mess? Huh? Truly. Truly. Mark 16, real quick. I remember where I asked you to go. We might have to do Miracles and Wonders, part 2, because I didn't get through any of this scripture that I was going to share with you, but we're going to get through this. And you keep in mind, Jesus said, the works I do, you can do as well, because I go to be with the Father. Everything Jesus did, He did by the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost lives in you if you're born again. Amen? The same power is resident in you. You just have to use your faith. Like Betty said this morning. I know I said Mark chapter 16. She said faith's like a dynamo. You got to keep it moving for it to produce power. Meaning you got to keep using it for it to be powerful. Don't squint your eyes and grit your teeth and clench your fists and hold steady and ask God to get the devil off you. Tell him to go yourself. And he will go. God's done everything He's going to do about the devil in your life. And now Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now you go. You cast out unclean spirits. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. Mark 16. Here it is, the Great Commission. I was saying He's not doing a new thing. He's still doing the same thing, and He will until He comes. It's Mark 16:15. These are the last words Jesus spoke just before He ascended up on high. Did you get that? Did you get it? Last words. Last words. He said, go ye into all the world. See, ye is me. Say, ye is me. And preach the gospel to every creature. That he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We believe that, don't we? Yeah. He that believeth not shall be damned. We believe that? Yeah. No problem there. Then why should we have a problem with verse 17? And these signs shall follow only the 12 apostles. In my name they shall... What does it say? These signs shall follow who? Now hold on a minute. Wouldn't that be you? Yeah. You believe in Jesus? Then you're a believer? The believers believe. Then signs and wonders follow believers. You got this? These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils or demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, talking about persecution. If they drink any deadly thing, talking about being persecuted and forced to drink it, not putting on a show, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You can do this. I can do this. I'm a believer. Believers believe. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs. There's that word wonders again. Following. Time to stand up. Time to stand up if you would please. Amen. As soon as you can get it together, we're going to have to come back and talk about miracles and wonders, part 2, next Sunday. Oh, say, Pastor, I'm looking forward to it. Now, I'm going to lead you in the confession of faith. I'm going to lead you in taking authority over the devil, and you'll go out of here and you will see results. If you believe, Jesus said, these signs will follow who? Whoever. Those who what?
Believe.
Those who what?
Believe.
Those who what?
Believe.
Those who what?
Believe.
That word believe, it's actually expect. Expect. We will take authority over the devil right now. You and me together in every realm of your existence. And whatever you need or whatever you need to be rid of, God will meet that need if you expect. Say it with me. And say it to the devil and mean it. Now, you don't have the right to do this if you're not born again. This is kingdom stuff. This is covenant stuff. This is relationship stuff. But if you believe and you belong to Jesus, you have all authority over the devil. And when you know, the Bible says we're kings and priests in Christ Jesus in Revelation 1:5 and 6. Amen? And when a king speaks, demons listen or heads roll. And they know it. Now you say, Satan,
Satan,
I bind you.
I'm not fighting with you.
I'm not asking you.
I'm not
pleading with you.
I'm not begging you.
I'm telling you,
by the power vested in me,
through the Lord Jesus Christ,
loose me.
Loose my family.
Loose my finances.
Loose my relationships.
Loose my business.
Stop harassing me.
Loose me.
Loose them.
And let them go.
Change.
I command you to come to me.
By the power of God.
In Jesus' name.
I command all negativity
in every curse
to be reversed
in Jesus' strong name.
Rulers,
powers,
principalities,
demonic spirits,
the Lord Jesus Christ
rebukes you.
Do you believe that?
That's how you deal with the devil.
Now say, Father,
I receive your blessing.
I receive wonders.
I receive wonders.
Astonishing miracles.
And I give you the glory for them now.
I don't have to see it.
To believe it.
Because I know.
When I believe it.
I will see it.
That's how faith works.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
Worship God for your miracle right now. Worship Him for whatever you thank Him for it now. You've just taken authority over the wicked one who's the source of all your problems. Now if you'll just begin to worship God and thank Him for working supernaturally on your behalf concerning your family, your mate, your loved ones, your entire household, your finances, every realm of your existence, socially, emotionally, spiritually, financially, expect. Hallelujah. We preach a strong word around here, don't we? Don't we?
Say it with me.
Say, I expect.
I expect.
Because I know
that expectation
is the secret to life.
Never again
will I pray one way
and talk another.
Never again.
Will I pray one way
and talk another
in Jesus' name?
Now I command you all, be free.
I command you, be free.
Be free, be free wherever you're being harassed by Satan and demon powers.
I command you, be free in your finances and the blessing of God to come.
Be free in every realm of your existence.
Be free,
be free, be free,
be free, be free,
be free.
Be free,
be free,
be free,
be free.
Put your hand out here, Eva,
in Jesus' name. Rachel,
be free,
be free,
be free,
be free.
Free from sickness,
free from disease,
free from poverty,
free from fear,
free from confusion,
frustration and failure,
free from ignorance of God's word,
free from the fear of God.
Jesus prayed his last prayer in the garden.
He said, Father, let them know you love them as much as you love me.
Say it with me. Father,
you love me
as much as you love Jesus.
And I love you, Father.
Oh, and Pastor,
I really love you, man.
Hallelujah.
We're going to sing a song here. Amen. Praise be to God.
And then we're going to be dismissed. Amen.
Hallelujah. What are we singing?
Let's sing. Let's close with Say to This Mountain. Amen.
I want to encourage you as you go out of here today, expect your miracle and keep on speaking the solution to the problem.
Speak the solution to the problem.
The gripers get the vipers.
Will you say that? The gripers get the vipers. That's how Israel got stung in the wilderness. They whined and moaned and complained instead of praising. The gripers get the vipers. Hallelujah. Say, that ain't me, baby.
That ain't me, baby.
Hallelujah. Which track are we going to, Barbara? Hallelujah. 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 God is so good. Hallelujah. He is so good. I want you to release your faith for this church to grow. Because more people on Cape Cod need to hear this message. And less people need to be hearing about the wrath of God on Cape Cod. God is not wrathful. God is love. Amen.